Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is March 18th, 2018, and this is the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, episode 155, directly to you. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Boneherding.juice video game podcast.
Week, we're talking about the really incredible Nintendo Direct we had a couple of weeks ago, as well as talking a little bit about some of our hopes and dreams about one of the biggest announcements at that event. We will be talking about that in just a little bit, but first we have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy McWaggy, are you about ready to get us started there?
Yes.
Go for it, man.
Even though we just had a recent Nintendo Direct, which we are going to be talking about as the focus of this episode, we have a Nindy Showcase coming on March 20th. That is probably by the time this episode will be airing.
That'll actually be the day that this episode goes live.
Yeah, so expect a follow-up next episode. This is going to be on YouTube and presumably also just on Nintendo.com at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Central Time, and 12 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah,
I guess that means 10 a.m. Mountain Time. We always forget about that time zone.
Right. I'm really excited about this. You know, it goes without saying the Switch has been a phenomenal platform for indies. And, you know, a lot of indies have had really profitable experiences on the Switch eShop, which I think is great for everybody. Psyche, what do you think about this Nindy Showcase, especially coming so hot off of such a hot Direct?
Well, I mean, I think it's good that they continue. I mean, Nintendo's done pretty well. I mean, even with Wii U and 3DS supporting the Nindies over the past few years. So, but especially because, like you said, the Nindies have been part of the reason that the Switch has been so successful. I think that's good that they're spotlighting them, you know, will, you know, drive some sales and also, you know, give these developers a chance for some attention. And, you know, and then on the other hand, also free up other Directs to focus on, you know, the big guns, so to speak.
The big guns.
I said big guns, not biggins.
All right, well, we will definitely be talking more about that in a week or two. In the meantime, all of y'all listening to this probably know more about this than we do right now, so look down on us in pity. We also have an exciting announcement that was just made this weekend. This is a new DLC character for Fire Emblem Warriors. This will be Tharja.
Tharja Bug.
Tharja is going to be a part of the Fire Emblem Awakening DLC pack, which I believe is coming out at the end of this month. Of course, this is exciting because Tharja is like a fan favorite character. You know, there's a lot of merch for her in Japan. Really exciting to see that she's going to be coming to the game. But a lot of people who were at this Fire Emblem Festival event had noted that her moveset appears to be very similar to Robin's. Slaggy, what do you think of this? Are you into Fire Emblem Awakening?
Yeah, I mean, Awakening was a pretty classic game. I guess all I really have to say is...
I said, are you into Fire Emblem Awakening? I meant, are you into Fire Emblem Warriors?
Oh, I haven't had a chance to pick up Warriors yet. It's one of those ones that came out just at the time where there was a lot coming out, and I had to prioritize my purchases. But, I mean, you know, the Musou games are usually pretty fun, and Hyrule Warriors turned out well. But then again, Hyrule Warriors is coming out for Switch, and I'm kind of like, oh.
Yeah?
But, as far as Tharja, I guess... I can say congratulations, fan favorite.
We also have word here that Final Fantasy XV's Noctis will be available in Tekken 7 on March 20th. Of course, we had previously talked about this announcement. It was one that I think a lot of people were very excited about. But what is new here is that we have a date.
We got a date with Noctis? Hey!
Ooh. So, Slaggy, I know that you're a Final Fantasy XV fan, at least to some degree. I don't know if you're a Tekken 7 fan, but I know you are a Tekken fan to some degree. Is there any interest in this DLC from you?
I mean, I typically don't play fighting games on console for the most part, but, I mean, maybe if I found Tekken 7... on the cheap or something. I think the last Tekken game I actually got on console was Tekken Tag Tournament Battle 2 or whatever for Wii U, which was alright. I mean, I find the Tekken games a certain level of accessible that I do not find most fighting games.
Excellent, excellent.
I'd rather be fighting as Gladia, though.
Well, for some reason in my head, this next game is one you're really excited about. I don't know if that's actually true, though. Can you take this one?
True, yeah. This is the announcement of some DLC characters for BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. There is Aegis from Persona 4 Arena, which, you know, I actually have put some time in at the arcades and such. Undernight Inbirth's Carmine Prime and BlazBlue's Jubei.
And Jubei is, of course, the Samurai Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
So that's super exciting. You know, obviously this game will be releasing, at least in Japan, on May 31st for PS4, Switch, and PC. I believe it's releasing here within a couple of weeks of that date. Are you you looking forward to this one, Saigi?
I mean, maybe not owning it, but I assume you'll be picking it up and
on Switch, heck yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I forgot it was going to be on Switch. Like, in that case, I might be more inclined.
Oh, man, you should.
Or we can just share the joy.
Yeah, that is true. We also have word that Brigitte is going to be live on Overwatch on March 20th.
Wow, lots of stuff happening Tuesday.
Yeah, right? So by the time you're hearing this episode, if you haven't logged in to Overwatch yet, you should log in now and you'll probably see me online as well on either PS4 or PC. Please look forward to it.
Wow, this will be weird because for once, everyone's going to be wanting to play support.
All right. That'll last a week.
Super Bomberman R is coming for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. They will have platform-exclusive characters. There's a Ratchet and Clank Bomber exclusive to PS4, which is adorable. A Master Chief Bomber exclusive to Xbox One, which is also adorable. And a Peabody Bomber, which looks like, is that Portal?
That's Peabody from Portal 2.
See, I didn't spend a lot of time with Portal 2, actually.
Well, that was a poor life choice.
It was. That'll be the Steam exclusive. And if you pre-order a digital copy or get the Shiny Edition at retail, you will get 8 Shiny Bomberman Brothers set, a Golden Vic Viper Bomber as well.
Yeah, so this will be releasing on June 12th, which means it will have been a Switch exclusive game for about 15 months. Obviously, you know, this is one of those games where Konami released this. It was a super budget title on Switch. It was a huge success, moving, you know, several hundred thousand units over their expectations, which led to a long-term life of support for the game, getting a lot of free DLC, a lot of patches to turn it into a really great Bomberman experience. Lots of people, of course, are assuming that there was some kind of Nintendo exclusivity agreement, which is why this game is coming to all of these other platforms the same day, a little over a year later. You know, we've kind of seen this song and dance before with other timed exclusives. All in all, though, I'm really excited that other people are going to get to play this really fantastic Bomberman game, and the fact that it already has such a high level of support on the Switch also makes me feel really good about Bomberman stuff on the Switch moving forward, and other like R/revitalization projects. What do you think about this, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good to see Konami making games.
Oh, shit. No lies detected.
You know, and hopefully not just making its developers be janitors, and nothing wrong with janitors, obviously, but, like, you know, like, and mistreating them and making them clean, like, the nastiest bathrooms, probably.
Right. We also have here the announcement of Shadow of the Tomb Raider. This is the new Tomb Raider game, the latest in the Tomb Raider series, and it will be coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC this September.
Oh, wait, don't you mean it will be coming to PS4 and PC the following September?
No, this will be releasing. That was another game with, like, a one-year exclusivity window, huh?
Yeah, but both of them, I think, right?
But, yeah, so we're going to be getting, like, a full reveal and, like, you know, all details on the game on April 27th. The release date will be September 14th. But this teaser, I thought, was a pretty good teaser. I'm not necessarily the world's biggest Tomb Raider fan, but I definitely thought it was a good teaser.
Yeah, it looks like there's some tombs in there, so that's good.
Right? A step in the right direction. We also have word here of a new guest character in Soul Calibur 6. Yeah. Everybody's favorite gamer daddy is joining the cast of Soul Calibur 6.
Wait,
I'm talking,
you?
Of course, about the protagonist from The Witcher, Geralt of Rivia. This is, of course, exciting because this is a fan-favorite character that a lot of people are super thirsting over. Something that is, of course, really cool is that the voice actor of Geralt from the games will from the Witcher games will be voicing him in Soul Calibur 6 as well. All in all, I think this is a really exciting addition to the Soul Calibur cast, and I cannot wait to play this game when it comes out later this year on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
I hope that there's like a story mode cinematic where he's in a hot tub.
There had better
that's like,
be.
That's my extent of Witcher. Like that's
you should actually play Witcher 3. It's really good.
Actually, I've been meaning to.
Do you own it?
I think I have it on Steam.
Excellent. Yeah, I got it as a part of one of the bundles for practically pennies, and now I like wish I had bought it day one because it was a really great game.
Well, we have a bevy of Monhun news that is tied into Monster Hunter World. We have a Mega Man collaboration quest starting on April 13th. It's adorable. This allows your Palico to have armor that will give the appearance of the Blue Bomber, and it's very, you know, like pixely kind of, you know, like a pixel art sort of look.
Excellent. That's awesome. We also have word here that Devil Joe, or Devil Ho, or Devil Joe, as, you know, the fandom calls him quite a few different things, is going to be coming to Monster Hunter World on March 22nd.
Can we please be formal? It's Devil Joseph.
That might be one I've never heard before, actually. So not only will Devil Joe be coming, but we are also going to be getting a patch that will be giving us reduced loading times and making a ton of weapon adjustments. And the cool thing is, I don't think any of the weapons are being nerfed. It's pretty much buffs for every weapon.
Good. That will help me maybe start playing again.
Yeah, like Greatsword is getting like increased damages. Longsword is getting like improvements to like the input timing for the foresight slash, as well as like better hitbox detection. Sword and Shield is getting improved slinger usability and round slash damage increases. Hammer's getting adjusted stun values for their charged attacks. Hunting Horn is actually just getting straight up a DPS increase. Gunlance is getting reduced sharpness for its use of shells. And you can actually find like the patch notes online and translated in English at this point, so I won't go into any more details, but basically every weapon is getting tightened up and improved somehow.
Ooh, and I think that's suggested to be easier to use, and that was one I was wanting to try, so...
Hey, that's awesome. You know, I'm actually planning on getting onto Monhun tonight, so if you wanted to try checking out the Lance before the patch goes live, that's an invitation.
For a little bit. And we also have a collaboration with the ability to hunt as Dante from Devil May Cry.
My favorite part of this reveal is the trailer, which recreates one of the old Devil May Cry 1 trailers in, like, Monster Hunter World gameplay. It's a real hoot. But this collaboration does not currently have a date announced. It will be taking place later this year. There are full costumes, both male and female, of the Dante armor. And in a really exciting addition, there's going to be a charge blade weapon that comes with this that will switch between being the Force Edge and the Elastor blades. They look really, really freaking cool, and I am super, super excited to see this in-game. I love Devil May Cry. I love Monster Hunter. I am stoked for this. What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, it looks cute. In Dissidia Final Fantasy, presumably NT,
yes.
Right? The Final Fantasy XII antagonist Vayne is going to be a new playable character.
I have to admit, that was a surprising one for me. I was not expecting this. But, you know, kind of the more the merrier with Dissidia characters. What do you think, Slaggy?
Well, Vayne is pretty fabulous.
Excellent.
And to wrap up before our release date bits, we have XSEED has revealed via their Twitch stream that they are going to be localizing, they kind of already did, but you know how that went. But East Memory of Salsetta, or wait, is that the same one that had the messy localization?
I think you're thinking of Lacrimosa of Dana.
Oh, right. So, okay, yeah. So I'm sorry. So that's where my confusion is coming from. East Memories of Salsetta was originally the Vita title, which was a retelling of East 4. And so this is going to be coming to PC in 2018. It'll be playable in 20 frames per second, 30 frames per second, 60 frames per second, or an unlocked frame rate, and support 1080p and higher.
That's great. It sounds like they're putting some work into the port, and I can't wait to see how it goes.
Yeah, I remember hearing a lot of good things about it, but, you know, it was a Vita title.
Yeah, I actually own this game and haven't finished playing it yet, so I'm really excited to do so. I will probably do that on the PC.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, we do have some release date updates for all of y'all here. We have word that Yakuza Kiwami 2 will be releasing in the English language territories on August 28th, 2018. Little Witch Academia Chamber of Time will be releasing westward on May 15th, 2018. Runner 3 will be releasing on Nintendo Switch on May 22nd. Valkyria Chronicles 4 will be releasing on October 16th. Wild Guns Reloaded will be releasing on the Nintendo Switch on April 17th. Galgun 2 will be releasing on the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 in Europe on April 13th and in North America on April 24th. One Piece Pirate Warriors 3 Deluxe will be releasing on the Nintendo Switch in the Western territories on May 10th in North America and May 11th in Europe. Code of Princess EX will be releasing on Nintendo Switch this summer. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Trilogy will be releasing on Switch on April 26th. That is, of course, a port that I am super, super, super excited about. I just cannot wait to revisit those games. And last but certainly not least, Eat Beat Dead Spike Son will be releasing on Nintendo Switch on March 22nd. This is, of course, the Blaze Blue Series rhythm game that is based on the character Ragna and his Dead Spike special attack. The game has 20 songs from the Blaze Blue Series to eat to, and will primarily be based on the L and R buttons. This game was not even on my radar, and then I watched the trailer.
Right?
And it just looks so offbeat. No pun intended. Like, it is very much, very much my alley.
Did it slay you dead, Spike?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it did. All right. I am tickled over here. Like, she is just living her life, loving herself, okay? All of that having been said, unless you have anything else, Slaggy, I think it's time for some news.
Oh my god. News.
News. News. News. Oh my god. News.
All right, well, that gets us going, doesn't it? Do you want to take this first one, Slaggy? I know this is one of your favorite franchises.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, in spite of itself sometimes, right? So, Sega held a Song of the Hedgehog panel at South by Southwest, and they released a teaser image of a logo with a letter R illuminated, and you can kind of see the rest of the word says racing. So, all of that Sega has said is that it's not a sequel to any other racing game. The R is notably the same font from Sonic R, so, I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to feel the sunshine, but it's interesting because they said it's not a sequel, so, and I actually liked Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. I thought it was a solid Mario Kart clone.
I thought it was probably the best non-Mario Kart game in the industry, honestly.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, as long as it's not a Sonic Drift, I guess.
You know, and I know they're saying it's not a sequel or whatever, but, like, I still...
It could be a spiritual, like...
Yeah, I truly do believe that it is, like, a reimagining of Sonic R, because that font reusage and the fact that it's clearly Sonic Racing is just, like, no. That either reuse the same iconography for a reason, or make new iconography. Like, I can't really... I'll be mad if it's not tied to Sonic R in some way. That's my point.
You hoping for Tails, Doll?
I don't know what you mean by that.
You're not familiar with Tails Doll?
I'm not. Explain.
That was that creepy toy Tails that you could unlock in Sonic R.
Oh, okay. See, so I like Sonic R, but, like, I didn't necessarily put, like, a ton of time into it.
But the thing is that Tails Doll is also a popular topic of a lot of creepypasta, so that's why I figured you'd at least know Tails Doll.
Well, so I am familiar with Tails Doll from the creepypasta. I just hadn't realized this was where it came from.
Oh.
Yeah, so my bad.
The more you know.
The more you know. Ding! Do you want to take this other one as well?
Sure. We got the announcement of Sonic Mania Plus. This is going to be a physical copy of Sonic Mania with new content for Switch, PS4, and Xbox One, available for $29.99. Or if you already have it digitally, you can get the new content via a DLC update. It will add Ray the Flying Squirrel and Mighty the Armadillo from Sega Sonic the Hedgehog, which of course is the arcade version. A four-player competition mode will be added, and an encore mode with remixed versions of zones, which, you know, the whole game was a remix of zones, aside from
like
the new ones.
Like half the levels were remixes of zones. Get it right.
No, I know, but so this is pretty exciting. If you get the physical version, it'll have a hollow graphic package, a reversible Sega Genesis cover, and a 32-page art book.
Excellent. Let me ask you, Slaggy, are you planning on picking this up?
I don't know if I'll be getting the physical package, but I mean, I'll get the DLC update,
yeah.
Obviously.
You know, I bought that ridiculous, like, special edition Sonic Mania release that came with, like, the statue and everything.
Right.
So, like, part of me is, like, I feel like I should buy this physical release to go with that, and the other part of me is like, no, I've already spent too much money on Sonic Mania. I'll get the update, and that'll be that. Who wants to take a bet on where I land?
You're gonna buy it, but you'll get it for PS4 or something.
Ew.
Why would you need a physical Switch copy? I mean, I guess there wouldn't be anything stopping you from, you know, the save data, right?
Presumably.
Yeah. There also will be a series of 5-minute short cartoons called Sonic Mania Adventures.
And that's being made by the same creative team that made that amazing opening sequence animation for Sonic Mania. So I'm really excited about that. That is just incredible to me. Cannot wait to see these animations. We also had the announcement of the Sega Genesis Classics Collection. This is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC on May 29th. It looks like it will be priced at around $30, and it will include the following titles, and this is going to be long. Bear with me for a minute. Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, Alien Soldier, Alien Storm, Altered Beast, Biohazard Battle, Bonanza Brothers, Columns, Columns 3, Comics Zone, Crackdown, Decap Attack, Echo the Dolphin, Echo Jr., Echo the Tides of Time, Eswat, City Under Siege, Eternal Champions, Fatal Labyrinth, Flicky, Game Ground, Galaxy Force 2, Golden Axe, Golden Axe 2, Gunstar Heroes, Kid Chameleon, War Turtle, Mewtwo Tentacruel Aerodactyl, Landstalker, The Treasures of King Knoll, Light Crusader, Rise Star, Shadow Dancer, Shining Force, Shining Force 2, Shining in the Darkness, Shinobi 3, Return of the Ninja Master, Space Harrier 2, Streets of Rage, Streets of Rage 2, Super Thunderblade, Sword of Vermilion, Vector Man, Virtua Fighter 2, Wonder Boy 3, Monster Lair,
Borderlands, Borderlands 2,
and a small selection of additional games, including Sonic the Hedgehog and Phantasy Star. We will definitely be revisiting this once we have the full and complete list of games available in this package, but for now, I'm seeing some real classics here. Stuff like Eternal Champions, Gunstar Heroes, Landstalker, Shining Force. Some really good stuff to be excited about. What do you think about this collection, Slykick?
Do you see the super 90s like trim for the Rise Star picture?
Yes.
I'm here for that.
It looks like the design Dixie that would cup. Be on a Dix. Yes, that. So are you going to pick this up?
There's a good possibility. Yeah, I wish it was on Switch.
Yeah, I remain salty that it's not on
people,
Switch.
But I wish it was on Switch.
Yeah, I, yeah.
Well, yeah. To switch things up, this is not necessarily a Switch announcement, but it kind of is, because we have the news of Warriors Orochi 4 to be coming out in Japan this year, 2018. This is the latest installment of the Koei Tecmo series developed by Omega Force.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, this will more likely than not get an inevitable Western release as Warriors Orochi 4.
Yeah, and apparently Warriors Orochi 3 was all the way back in 2011, so it's been a while. It's been a while! Oh, I'm sorry, this is why I was a little confused. Warriors Orochi 3 has released on PSP, Wii U, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch at this point. So that's why I said I was getting the platforms a little bit confused.
Well, yeah, between the territorial like numbering difference, it can be a little confusing to keep it separate. But this game will be releasing this year in Japan. We do not yet have any announced platforms.
Another Netherworld is heading to the Nintendo Switch.
That sounds out of this world. Ba-dunts.
So, this is to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the title. It's coming this spring.
That's exciting. I can't wait to put my fingers together and stop time.
Okay, Eevee.
Yeah, that was a different out of this world, I know. But I'm sorry, you were saying it felt like it just...
I felt like it was just only 5 years ago that we were talking about this game's 15th anniversary being, having some re-releases.
I think that we were. That having been said, I will definitely be picking this up on the Switch. I've bought this game so many times, but honestly, I still really love it. So this spring, I'll definitely be into it.
You could talk to your dad via a crystalline communicator.
Again, that's a different out of this world.
I know. I wish that was available on DVD or something.
So we also have a few stories here for Culture Club. This is, of course, where we talk about some news stories that don't really fit into our other categories. They're a little bit more about games culture and the culture surrounding games. And this first one that I want to talk about is actually word that there's a really exciting musical tour that's going to be coming around this year. This is, of course, for one of my very favorite of all franchises. This is the Kingdom Hearts Orchestra World Tour. It made its debut in 2017 to celebrate the series' 15th anniversary, and it will be back for a second wave of worldwide performances starting this June 9th at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in advance of E3. Obviously, we expect this E3 to be pretty major in the Kingdom Hearts world, so it makes sense that that's where the new leg is starting. There will also be visits to Sydney, Chicago, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Boston, Toronto, Atlanta, Dallas, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Honolulu, San Paolo, Munich, Milan, Seoul, and Mexico City. Composer Yoko Shimomura-san will be in attendance as a special guest in select cities. There will be VIP tickets at those shows in order to get a meet and greet with her after the show. This is, of course, super, super exciting stuff. There is going to be like a special edition CD that will be available at the concert that will have like arranged versions of some of the music. Obviously, that sounds amazing. And we will definitely be talking about more of this as the tour comes around. Maybe I'll even travel to go see it somewhere. What do you think of the Kingdom Hearts Orchestra, Slaggy?
Well, as long as they keep the set list simple and clean, I think it'll be good.
Excellent.
Also, I was just looking up Another World. The 20th anniversary one is the one that came out in 2011. So, like, that was even pre-Bui.
Wow.
So it's a release of the 20th, but to be fair, they had a lot of those releases did fall within the Bui range. It was just the iOS one came out on the actual 20th anniversary.
Calm down. Literally nobody cares to the degree that you're going to.
Well, I just had to be accurate with my reporting. I don't want to be doing any Kellyanne Conway alternative facts.
Oh, snap. All right, well, you do you. You're totally right. Got to give it to you there. We also have word here that there will be a second season of the Ace Attorney animation. This is, of course, the Gyakuten Saiban anime. This second season will be called Sono Shinjitsu Igiari. That's season two, of course. It will be animated by A1 Pictures and will feature more Phoenix Wright, Mia Fey, Maya Fey, and Miles Edgeworth, and obviously Godot and everyone. This is super exciting, of course. It'll be premiering this fall on Yomiuri TV. Presumably, Crunchyroll will be airing the episodes in simulcast because they did for the first season. Will you be watching this, Slaggy?
Maybe I'll catch up on the first season. Why is Godot wearing, like, a super evil sci-fi villain? Is it, like, is he able...
No, he always wears that.
Is it for him, like, to detect the truth
in people? Just watch it. Or play it. Just play it. We also have word that there's going to be a Metal Gear concert coming west in October. This will be doing showings in Los Angeles, New York, and Paris.
Newark, LaGuardia, Kennedy, Davenport.
So, obviously, if you're into live orchestral concerts of your favorite video games, this is also going to be one to check out. I will probably not travel for this because October is traditionally a very busy month for me, but definitely really, really excited about this, and I hope we get, like, a really good good, like, digital release in some format.
Yeah.
We also have here a very interesting story. In Civilization VI, a review of the game's code has discovered that due to a typo in the game's code, some AI civilization leaders' priorities have been ruined or are behaving improperly because the word yield was spelled incorrectly in the code, and so the calls were not being answered right. As a result, a lot of AI behaviors were maybe unacceptably prioritizing culture or science or faith or gold far above or below what they were supposed to be doing. So this is kind of just really interesting.
Actually, the way I interpreted it, sorry to interrupt, is that they weren't yielding those things so that they just focused everything on religion and other things that were not those yields.
So it's my understanding that that's been the most observable instance, but that in actual play, like as civilizations like level up, their prioritizations change. So it's my understanding that as a long-term game goes, that is not necessarily the case. But I also have to admit, I have not played that much Civ 6.
Yeah,
like, as a Civ game goes, I've probably put the least amount of time in 6, so...
Yeah,
oops.
I need to fix that, but...
Same. I'm sure this will be fixed soon.
Does that explain why Gandhi is always so militant?
Well, you know, that's actually, funny enough, very part of why I wanted to bring this up, because there's a very interesting history of civilization glitches in terms of, like, how their prioritization of the various yields goes. Because you may recall that Gandhi, early on, in early Civ games, was originally programmed to be, like, to hate military and everything. But because of, you know, you can only have a maximum value on a non-signed 8-bit integer or whatever, and it after it goes too high will reset basically, or after it goes too low will then hit like the top of where it's set for. Gandhi would, over the course of a game, go from being the least militant person ever to becoming the most militant person ever. And that's a very similar oversight to what happened here. Now they just program Gandhi to be that way because it's, you know, a series standby, but that was absolutely related to a similar type of glitch in the early days of the series.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So we also have a really interesting story here. Slaggy, do you want to talk about this one?
Sure. There has been a sighting of a Mega Man or Rock Band X 25th anniversary logo. That's all we really have, but...
Okay, so you skipped a news story, but I will take this one. Basically, new upcoming Rock Band X merchandise has a new logo signifying Rock Band X 25th anniversary. Of course, a lot of people are noting, you know, this is Capcom, and it's very unlikely they would have spent money on new merch for Mega Man X and new, like, logos to celebrate their anniversary without some kind of additional plans. It may not include a game, although it probably does. At this point, we don't have anything announced, but again, it is very unlikely that Capcom came up with a new logo to celebrate this anniversary without the intent to do something for this anniversary. And when you additionally consider that whether the game was a success or not, Mega Man X as a franchise did get a huge push in last year's Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, there's a lot of reasons to believe that there's something going on behind the scenes at Capcom involving Mega Man X. Again, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, yes, it was a flop. That doesn't change the fact that Mega Man X was represented in the game big time in the story. The boss had a huge tie to Mega Man X and, you know, Sigma and everything. So definitely every reason to believe that Capcom has plans for Mega Man X moving forward. Now, the news story that I meant for you to talk about, Slaggy, and now I'm going to steal it from you, is that Drake showed up this week on Twitch to play Fortnite with well-known Twitch personality, Tyler Ninja Blevins. Of course, you know, they ended up popping on and playing Fortnite Battle Royale, the free-to-play multiplayer shooter that has kind of become, like, the biggest game in the world out of nowhere. Like, literally, even Roseanne Barr has been, like, tweeting about the game, which is weird AF. But The concurrent viewer count of this stream ended up at over 500,000 people watching concurrently, which is actually like way, way, way over the previous Twitch record of any non-tournament stream. The previous record was under 400,000. This was over 600,000. So kind of decimated that record by a hefty margin. Anyway, it was just a really cool thing to watch. I watched some of it as it happened last week. They seemed like they were having a lot of fun playing the game, and honestly, Fortnite remains one of those games I haven't really gotten into, but kind of really want to. Slaggy, what do you think about this, beyond wanting Drake to murder your vagina?
This is just, you know, an interesting new era for, you know, and the AV Club article kind of alludes to this, that, you know, celebrities popping on Twitch and stuff. I mean, here in the gay realm, you know, we think of things like Trixie Mattel, who is a popular drag queen, sometimes goes on with some LGBT gamers streams and, you know, helps raise money for, like, the Gamer X Foundation and stuff, so... you know, it's interesting to see this as a, you know, perhaps a platform for, you know, celebrities to be connecting with their fan bases.
Yeah, I mean, with the prominence of video games in pop modern culture right now, it seems inevitable that celebrities would have to find some way to leverage that into their marketing campaigns, right? And, you know, in an instance like this, where a lot of these celebrities that have been talking about Fortnite in particular and, you know, the various Battle Royale type games, the thing that's been cool to me is that a lot of these celebrities seem like really into the games legit. Like, not just, oh, hey, I love this game, Fortnite. Like, no, like, these people, they're talking about strategies, they're talking about, like, what their favorite maps are. It
well,
actually
mean,
just seems
like
really
of
cool
our
to me.
Generation, so, you know.
Yeah, and hot as hell.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's definitely different than when Conan is like,
why Lara Croft die so many times?
Yeah, like, on Conan, where, you know, he's like, oh, I don't understand video games.
Yeah, I still go back to that, obviously, that segment that he did about the Tomb Raider revival, just because the whole focus was basically, like, how many painful deaths can we make Laura go through? And I thought it was not that awesome.
No,
gotta
but,
be real.
On the flip side, you have, like, Chrissy Teigen. I mean, I don't think she streams, but, like, she tweets about video games all the time. And did you see the one time where she left her Nintendo Switch at a hotel and they rush delivered it to her?
Yes.
And then she was tweeting about Mario Odyssey a lot. So, like, yeah, I mean, celebrity... I would love if Chrissy Teigen started Twitch streaming, by the way, but...
yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so you're right. I do see a lot of people, you know, being a lot more... Not open about their gaming habit, but, you know, it's just something that, you know, the younger-ish generations we've grown up with, and, you know, it's a part of our lives.
Yeah, it's just, and it's really neat to me to see that that also applies to a lot of celebs are in our age range. I think that's really cool. And again, you know, I'm happy that they're talking about these games and, you know, spreading the love. Definitely something I like to see.
Indeed.
So, all that having been said, you know, as we discussed earlier, Nintendo put together a Nintendo Direct that aired earlier this month, specifically on March 8th, 2018. This aired at what I think it was 2 p.m. that day. It went about 30 minutes. They talked about a lot of stuff, primarily Switch focused, but there were a handful of 3DS announcements made as well, surprisingly. We are going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the 3DS announcements, then we're going to talk about the Switch announcements. We're not going to talk about them in the order that they ran on the actual event because my notes didn't go in that order and I can't be arsed to correct it. So, Slaggy, would you like to get us started here?
Yeah, we had the surprise announcement of a release of Luigi's Mansion coming to the 3DS. So now those who maybe missed out on the 2001, oh my god, release of Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube, but enjoyed playing Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on the 3DS will now get to experience the joy of the original game.
That is super exciting.
Yeah, on one hand, it's like, really, we're still supporting the 3DS. I just want everything to be switched over to Switch now. On the other hand, Luigi's Mansion is a joy of a game. It's adorable and, you know, I think iconic.
I will say the fact that this is on 3DS rather than Switch makes me think we will either get a Switch port next year or an all-new Luigi's Mansion on Switch next year.
I would be here for that, or Luigi's Mansion Collection, and then later in the year, it's the year of Luigi Part 2.
I would be so into that.
Well, you know, we got the Bulge of Luigi is a big thing right now.
Ooh, actually, a big thing.
Not so big, apparently, based on the measurements.
Excuse me, those measurements are indicating a flaccid size. That size flaccid would be pretty big otherwise, if
Whoa.
You follow my meaning.
What? One up.
Right? No pun intended, or pun extremely intended. We also have word here. Look, I'm sorry, if you don't understand what we were just talking about, there was a really amazing trend on Twitter and Tumblr recently, where in some of the renders that actually came out of this direct, Luigi's packing a pretty big bulge in his shorts in the Mario Tennis Ace promo art, and so everyone has done, like, the measurements for, like, what the size of his junk must be, and it's been really remarkable to watch this new story unfold. I specifically thought we weren't going to talk about it on this show, but of course Slaggy took it there.
Well, you know, sometimes things just pop up.
Oh!
Well, and speaking of things, do you have anything else to say about Luigi's Mansion?
You son of a bitch.
Do you have anything else to say about Luigi's Mansion?
No.
Well, speaking about things that the internet's obsessed with, especially gay Twitter, you know, they're all about wanting Bowser inside them. And fittingly, we have another 3DS port or remake, which is Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story, plus Bowser Jr.'s Journey.
Oh, so this is another remake similar to what we saw with Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions. This is a 3DS remake using that same game engine, and it's going to be releasing in 2019, which I think caught a lot of us off guard and by surprise. Of course, Bowser's Inside Story is by a lot of people considered like the best of the Mario and Luigi RPG games. Slaggy, I'd like to ask, are you planning on picking this up? Have you played Bowser's Inside Story before?
No.
Like,
I missed out on it. I'm obviously familiar with the concept, but I did miss out on it. I mean, again, it's just like, you know, I've got to still play these 3DS games. Damn it.
Right? This is another one where I would hope for a Switch release, but the fact that this is releasing in 2019 makes me think that we're not going to see a Mario and Luigi game on Switch for a while. Definitely still holding out hope for a Paper Mario game on Switch in 2019, though. Maybe?
I'm like, maybe I should just spring for a 2DS, new 2DS. Maybe that'll motivate me to play yet another 3DS purchase.
Okay, but I will say, I saw a 2DS in person for the first time last week. They are gorgeous. Like, I kind of want one now just because they're so gorgeous, but I still have a perfectly good 3DS. I don't need a new one.
I really should just find my new 3DS XL, because I ended up finding that the new 3DS, the little guy, is just too tiny to deal with. So I just got to find where I stored that other new 3DS.
Why do I get the feeling that this story ends in you buying a new 2DS at the end of the month?
Well, I mean, it would have to be at the end of the month, because I don't have the money right now to be spending on that.
Ooh, well, speaking of things that involve money, we have word of a new Mario Kart game, or I'm sorry, WarioWare game.
That's a very different thing.
It really is. This is WarioWare Gold. This is coming to the Nintendo 3DS on August 3rd, and similar to what we saw with Mario Party the Top 100, this game will be featuring the top 300 best micro games from the series. In addition, many of the returning characters will have new character designs. Please look forward to this summer on August 3rd. I want to say, Slaggy, what did you think of these new character designs? Because some of them, I couldn't help but feel like, wow, there's got to be a reason for these new character designs. Like, are we going to see some WarioWare characters in Smash or something? Like,
I don't know.
What did you think of the character designs? Did you think they were cool?
Yeah, I mean, I always like the art style in WarioWare.
Excellent. Do you want to take this next announcement?
Oh, yeah. We have another entry in the Dylan's Rolling Western franchise, which, you know, a lot of people quite enjoy that armadillo dude. And this is Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers. And it is, from what I understand, more of a tower defense style game.
Yeah, I mean, there are elements like that in all of the Dylan
But like that
Western games.
That's the seems to be the primary focus of this.
And so something that is also cool is that it also appears to have like some light, like racy type elements, which I think are awesome.
Oh, but most importantly, there is functionality that transforms your me into an animal. So it's basically
anthropomorphic
like,
me's.
It's basically like me furries.
Okay, except Sonic Forces already did it. It's the one thing that game did.
That's true.
This game will be releasing on the 3DS on May 24th, and there will be a demo available starting May 10th.
Cool.
Moving on from the 3DS and on to the Switch, the Western release of Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition will be on May 18th. We also got our first look at the box art for the game. It looks so pretty. This game is, of course, already available in Japan, but unfortunately, the Japanese release does not have English language support. If it did, I would already have imported it, and I'd be playing it right meow.
Yeah.
As it stands, I will definitely be picking this up on May 18th. I think it looks really good. That cover art is fantastic. I would love to have a poster of it or something, because it's just a really cool cover. Saigi, what about you? Where are you at on Hyrule Warriors?
Oh, I'm definitely picking it up, and I love the way the Breath of the Wild armor looks in the game.
Yes. Yeah, really super stoked about that. We also got word that Little Nightmares Complete Edition will be releasing on May 18th. It will also have support for the Pac-Man amiibo. If you use it, the player character will have a really disturbing looking Pac-Man hoodie. Please look forward to it. Mario Tennis Ace will be releasing on June 22nd, and there will be a pre-launch online tournament, which will allow you to experience the game's gameplay before it officially releases. Nintendo actually went into a lot of detail during the Direct on this game. We got a look at new characters, including Bowser Jr., Chain Chomp, and Boo. Rosalina is also in the game as a playable character. There's a ton of like trick shots and special shots and zone shots, like
Of posed as the focus of the Direct in some ways.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Although
I love Chain Chomp as a playable character, and the internet does too.
Yeah, same. I feel like Nintendo really understands how to leverage that like fan enthusiasm for like the weird left of center stuff. Like, it took Nintendo a long time to embrace it, but now I think they're like really embracing it, which I love to see. We also got the announcement of South Park, the Fractured But Whole, releasing on Switch on April 24th, 2018. It will also be releasing with a season pass for access to all of the DLCs available on the other platforms this game has released on as well. This is, of course, exciting. Saigi, did you ever check out the Fractured But Whole? I feel like you were interested in it at one time.
No, I mean, you know, I heard that it, you know, the game itself, you know, like the game design was great, but I also heard that there were like some kind of problematic trans representation things, and I don't know. I mean, with South Park, it's always complicated, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, are they taking the piss? Well, they're always taking the piss out about it, but, you know, does that make it okay?
Yeah. Now, see, I had actually heard that the trans stuff was tastefully done for South Park. Of course, that's a pretty big caveat, but I guess I'll take positive representation. Even if it's two steps forward, one step back, at least that's still a net positive, I guess? I don't know. As you say, it is complicated. I'd be interested in hearing more about how people out on the internet feel. If you're on the internet, you're listening to this show, and you have strong feelings about the Fractured But Whole, I would love to be educated. I would love to hear what you have to say on this. You can tweet at us at gamebuie.org with the .org spelled out, D-O-T-O-R-G.
At boneherding.juice with the .juice spelled out, D-O-T-G-A-U-I-S. I can't even spell juice. Damn it.
You came real close, though, buddy. Good job. What's that actual at?
At gamebuie.org with the .org spelled out, D-O-T-O-R-G.
Excellent. We also have word here that Taiko no Tetsujin is releasing on the Nintendo Switch as Taiko no Tetsujin Nintendo Switch version. This will be releasing this summer in Japan. It will feature all new songs and the option to use Joy-Cons as drums. We do not yet know if it will be supporting any of the multitude of USB-based drum kits that are out there, including the USB-based drum kit for the PS4 release. That having been said, fingers crossed, I hope it does support those sets. And honestly, though, even if it doesn't, as long as the Joy-Con tracking is good enough, I will definitely import this. What do you think, Slaggy?
I mean, I'm just happy for more Taiko no Tetsujin.
And since it's so easy to import games on Switch, definitely going to do that. Do you think you'll import for this, or will you just rip off my copy?
Yeah, I'll probably just share the joy with you.
Fair enough. We also got a surprise announcement that I want Slaggy to talk about.
Well, if there ever was a time for some bone-hurting juice, it would be now, because we got the announcement that Undertale is coming to Nintendo Switch. I believe that they said eventually.
Yes.
And it was like a, you know, just a really cute, punny trailer with Sans and Papyrus to make the announcement. And, yeah, I mean, we don't really know much except that it is coming. You know, I think that's great. It was definitely, you know, an indie classic that was missing from the Switch, I feel like, you know. But, you know, they probably had to figure out how to do the coding and stuff. I know there was...
And actually, you know, that ties into sort of a sub-announcement of this. Yo-Yo Games actually announced that their Game Maker software, Engine 2, now has full support for Switch deployments. So, you know, Undertale was made in Game Maker. A lot of people, of course, thought the game would never come to Switch because the Switch did not have Game Maker support.
And that's why it never now came it does. To Wii U, right?
Well, exactly so. And this also means that there are a lot of other indie games out there that just became very viable for Switch releases.
That's great.
And frankly, I won't be shocked if we hear about a couple of those on Tuesday at this Nindies Direct thing.
Will you be picking up Undertale?
Absolutely, and without question.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite the game if you haven't played it.
Yeah, and you know, I actually haven't done all of the different runs. Like, I've never done a Genocide run. I have a lot of feelings on, like, maybe I don't want to.
I know, I kind of don't have the heart to do it, you know? But
right? But I also kind of do want to see that content, so maybe it's time.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought that the reveal was cute. They're like, because they were in the dark, and they're like, where's the Switch? And they're like, we're on it. And then it shows them on top of a Switch.
Yeah, I thought that was super cute.
It's quite the game. That's all I can say.
We also got a really awesome trailer for Splatoon 2. This trailer was really awesome. First off, it was focusing on a free update to the game, which will take it to 3.0. That, of course, will be releasing in late April. It's going to bring a number of new things, including more than 100 new pieces of gear, new maps, including some returning maps from Splatoon 1, and an all-new competitive rank. This is going to be rank X, which will be higher than S+. Then we got the announcement of the first paid DLC for Splatoon 2. This is known as the Octo Expansion. It will be arriving this summer, and it is an entirely new story mode campaign for single player with 80 stages. Players will control an amnesiac Octoling who wakes up in a subway system and has to take the train to new test facilities, facing new puzzle levels and bosses. If you defeat the campaign, you will unlock an Octoling option in multiplayer so that you can play as a squid rather than a kid. Of course, the Splatoon community is freaking out over this.
You mean an octopus rather than a squid?
Yes, I suppose I do. Calm down. Either way, tons of folks super excited about this. I am as well. Slaggy, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I never got too much into the single-player stuff in Splatoon 2, but I love the visual aesthetic of this. I mean, you know, it's just the subway system has that whole, you know, like, street art, you know, kind of grimy but colorful, you know, vibe to it. And playing as an Octoling would be really cool, so.
So what you're telling me is you're probably going to get this expansion and try to work through it.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
I've been meaning to get back in anyways. I know that they've added a couple of, they've added quite a bit since the last time I played. So, I mean, I feel like at least a couple of stages.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, if we don't play Monhunt tonight, maybe we'll play some Splatoon.
Cool.
We also got the announcement of Saga Scarlet Grace. This was announced for the Nintendo Switch in Japan only. But immediately after that announcement, Square Enix also confirmed that it was going to be releasing on PS4, PC, and smartphones. You may recall that this game was first released on the PS Vita in 2016. It was extremely well received by the Saga fanbase, which kind of felt like it was like a real revitalization of the series. Part of why I'm so excited is, you know, the fact that it was announced for a Steam release tells me this game is getting an English translation, in which case I believe it will also come to North America on the Switch and PS4 and smartphones. I don't care. I'll get it on Switch. Just hasn't been announced yet here. Has been announced for a 2018 release in Japan. I'm super looking forward to it. Any thoughts, Slaggy?
Well, I mean, it's just because it was a Vita release in 2016, that means who really had the chance to play it?
Pretty much. We also have word that Dark Souls will be getting a network test in advance of its official release on the Nintendo Switch on May 25th. The network test will also appear on other platforms. We do not believe there will be any cross-play, but exclusive to the Nintendo Switch version will be support for a Dark Souls amiibo of the Solaire of Astora. If you use the amiibo, it will allow you to perform the Praise the Sun emote immediately. Obviously, a lot of people are very excited about this. I will definitely be picking one up myself because that is just hilarious.
Well, you know, if you use Wii Fit Trainer, then you can use the Salute the Sun emote.
That is not true, but oh my god, I wish it were. A lot of people, of course, have a lot of feelings about a Dark Souls amiibo. Mostly people are very positive, and other people have some other suggestions that we'll get to in a little bit. Slaggy, any thoughts before we move on?
No, just, you know, the Dark Souls games have never been quite for me, but, you know, maybe it's time to grind the gears, or what, you know, grind the stone, or I don't know, you know, get down and grind.
You gonna try to get good?
I guess.
All right. Well, if I can help you out, I will. We also have word here that the Crash Bandicoot N-Sane trilogy is heading to the Nintendo Switch on July 10th. Immediately following this announcement, we also got a press release coming out of Actibliz letting us know that it will also be releasing on that same date on the PC and Xbox One. It is currently available on the PS4, and we will probably be talking about it on Switch when it releases. We got a new trailer for Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, and confirmation that it will be a 2018 release. Additionally, the game will feature local co-op play with split Joy-Cons. I'm definitely looking forward to sharing the joy on this one.
Yeah. We have news that Captain Todd is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
And the 3DS,
yeah. There will be some levels based on Mario Odyssey, including one they showed off of New Donk City. There will be a way to share the joy for local co-op, and it will allow you to help Captain Toad. So
excellent. You know, I'm really excited about this because I thought Captain Toad was a really great game, and I'm really excited to get to revisit it with new content when it releases on the Switch on July 13th.
Also coming July 13th is Octopath Traveler, not now, just a project anymore.
I was just going to say, now that's its actual name. Yeah, we got a bunch of new details about Octopath Traveler. It's also going to be available in a collector's edition, which will come with a pop-up book of the 8 main characters, and a coin and CD of the game, as well as, you know, like a map and this weird, like, pop-up thing, which is just so neat. Like, it just looks like such a cool little set.
Oh, like the little 3D book?
Yeah, it looks like a little diorama, almost. I love it, honestly. We also got a little bit of additional information on two new characters. One is a merchant who has the purchase action ability that allows her to buy items off of any NPC in the game. We also got the confirmation of the apothecary job, and he's able to talk to NPCs and make specific inquiries to them, whereas maybe the other characters can't make specific inquiries. For the apothecary, you get to like choose how the conversation is going to go. We also learned that while every character has a main class, they will also be able to take an extra job so that you could, for example, have your merchant have apothecary abilities or warrior abilities or dancer abilities in addition to the merchant abilities. Definitely sounding like what I would expect out of the team that made Bravely Default, and I'm getting really stoked for this game. Cannot wait to play it in just a few more months.
Yeah, I hope it's a lot more along the lines of a Bravely Default than a I Am Setsuna, which didn't quite grab me as much as I hoped it would.
That's fair. These things happen.
We have news that Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido, is finally coming out on June 8th, and will also be coming to the Switch.
Oh, wow.
That's about it.
Yeah.
It has a story mode. It still looks cute. There's some beefy sushi daddies that you play against in one round that we saw that I was thirsting over last E3. But that's about it. So that it is coming to the Switch.
Excellent. We also got the announcement of Okami HD coming to the Nintendo Switch. This is extremely exciting. You know, when Okami HD came out, a lot of people were already super salty that a Switch release was not announced. Now we know that it is coming to the Nintendo Switch, and it is going to support both touchscreen painting when you're in portable mode and motion control painting using the Joy-Con in either TV or tabletop mode. So a lot of people are feeling like, even if visually this is not like the number one top 100% version of the game, that from the play control standpoint, this will probably be the definitive edition. I think that's, of course, really exciting. Makes me really happy that I held off on Okami HD, because, you know, obviously, even the PS3 version was freaking gorgeous and had some support for, like, 4K elements, so I have to assume it's still going to be gorgeous AF on the Nintendo Switch. I'm really stoked about this. What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, this could be one of the most definitive ways to play.
Excellent, excellent. We also have word that Kirby Star Allies, which came out last week, will feature additional Legacy Dream Friends, which will be characters whom Kirby will be able to call in for support and to be like the NPC characters in the game. And something that's really awesome is that there will be free updates to add additional characters to the Dream Friends function as time goes on. The first free update will be March 28th and will include Kirby's animal friends, Rick, Kine, and Koo. I'm extremely excited about Rick the Hamster. He's one of my favorite, right? Like, Kirby Universe characters.
Stan a legend.
Right? Like, the day before this was announced, Slagkick and I had literally been talking about Rick the Hamster. So it feels fated to me. I cannot wait. What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, as I'll talk about during What's Up, I love Star Allies so far. I've already had the experience to use and play as some of the Dream Friends, so I can't wait. I feel like we're gonna have to be not fighting, but like definitely taking turns. What you respond is, your response is, nope, I'm gonna be Rick.
No, because I'll be Kirby and you can be Rick and Sulker will be Meta Knight and we will all have hella fun.
Although I'm liking Bandana Model D a lot.
You and the entire rest of the internet.
And you know, DDD getting them pecs out now, so that's my big boy.
Excellent. Well, so we're here now to the end of the journey of the Nintendo Direct.
Oh yeah, that little Splatoon tease thing. I turned it off when I saw it was just more Splatoon. Did I miss anything?
The funny thing is, I saw people on Twitter who actually did that and were super mad about it.
Did you see
it?
The reaction where, like, before it was clear that it was going to be, you know, the Splatoon Inklings showing up, that there was someone who had done a live reaction video on YouTube, as you know, that's a common thing, and she's like, oh, I wonder what this will be. Oh, I bet it's a Yoshi announcement.
That's hilarious.
And then she proceeded to freak out because...
So we got the final surprise announcement at the Nintendo Direct presentation in the style of a lot of the earlier Nintendo Directs that were coming out back in the days of the 3DS and the Wii U. You may recall how those surprise announcements tended to go. They tended to be for a very specific franchise. This tease started with some Inkling characters from Splatoon. It looked like they were like gunning on each other one-on-one. A lot of us initially on Twitter thought that this was going to be like a Splatoon Battle Royale game, which I will say I actually still really super want, but it turned out to be something
even greater.
It should
be called Splattle Royale, by the way.
Yes. Holy shit. Why are we not working at Nintendo right now? It turned out to be the announcement of Super Smash Brothers. We don't know much yet other than the fact that obviously the first confirmed new characters are Inklings, and this will be releasing for the Nintendo Switch in 2018. This was, of course, like such an epic like mic drop moment. It was such a good like Apple style like,
drop
one more thing type moment. It was just a real festive moment. So with all of that,
wow,
having
okay,
been said,
Mariah,
you know, we're obviously huge fans of Super Smash Brothers here in studio. We talk about this game all the damn time. We play this game all the damn time. We were just playing it last night. So with all of that having been said, we wanted to launch into a little bit of a discussion on Smash Brothers 2018. So I want to start, of course, by noting we do have confirmation Masahiro Sakurai-san is the person behind this game. You know, a lot of people had thought that Sakurai would be taking a break from Smash and going to do a new Kid Icarus game or some kind of new experimental game. Instead, it by all accounts appears that the minute DLC character design and development ended on Smash U. Sakurai took a little break and then got back to work on New Smash. Of course, this is very exciting, but let me start by asking Saigi, just the trailer in and of itself, what did you think?
Oh, it was hype, because, you know, you see the inklings and you're like, oh, cute. Maybe there's another bonus mode for Splatoon that they're announcing, or, you know, who knows, or like a Splatoon spinoff. And then as soon as you see that, you know, Smash Ball image reflected in the inkling's eyes, it's like, oh, snap. And then all of the silhouettes looking angry as heck, and everyone's already trying to guess which characters are there. Like, it was super hype.
Super hype. So, and let me ask you, you know, there was initially a huge, huge discussion / debate in the video game community whether this game is a port of Smash 4, as many of us had been expecting and discussing for the last year, or if it is a new game. Do you have an opinion on that? And if so, what is it?
My money is on that it's a new game, but it will be more iterative from Smash 4, so that, you know, it's not going to be like the huge jump that Melee to Brawl was, or Brawl to
4.
I think it might be just a little tighter. I think they're probably going to go a little step back more towards Melee in terms of, like, you know, kind of tightening up the gameplay a little bit, but
really gunning for that competitive market, you think?
Right. But you know, and I think that overall, you know, they did a lot really well in 4. So I mean, I had the feeling that it's going to be somewhere kind of like a happy medium between 4 and Melee in terms of its play style.
Well, and I will say, I actually completely agree with you. I think what is most likely to have happened, and, you know, we actually know that this happened for Splatoon, is I think that this game probably started life as a port. And as they were adding to it and tweaking it and improving the engine, they probably reached a point where they were like, you know, I don't really think this is a port anymore. Like, I think this is something new and we should just go with it. And I think that's actually a good thing. I think that increases the likelihood that there won't be, like, character cuts, for example. I've seen a lot of people online talking about, like, oh, I hope they cut some characters. And I'm like, why on earth would you ever want that?
Well, I mean, they could swap out some Fire Emblem characters for some other
ones. Fuck that. Look, dude, here's the thing. We're not at the point now where, you know, disk space is going to be an issue or whatever. As far as I'm concerned, if they can just reuse the work that was done on Smash 4 and bring characters over, which, if it is an iterative sequel that uses the same basic game engine but improved, I would think most of those characters would be able to come over, you know, probably like 10 of them for the work that it would do to create one new character. So why not just bring all 50 of those over or whatever?
Yeah, although I do feel like a couple of our, you know, flagship characters are going to have some tweaked movesets.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, we have confirmation, for example, that the Link that's going to be in Smash Brothers is going to be the Breath of the Wild Link. So a lot of people are assuming he'll have, you know, some of, like, the various glyph abilities rather than the standard Link abilities that we've all grown to know and love. And, you know, maybe, like, his up B will be Revali's Gale or whatever. And, you know, I actually think that that would be a really interesting angle to take. And then we still have Toon Link, right? Or Young Link, or whatever the mini Link is in this game, that will have the classic style Link moveset. So we're not really losing anything, we're just gaining. That kind of thing I could agree with.
Right, and I could see Cappy being part of Mario's abilities.
Right, instead of having his down B be Flood, maybe it's Cappy, throwing Cappy and getting, you know, something out of it. Kirby
Mind
style.
Control.
Right? So, I mean, definitely I expect to see a lot of tweaks there, especially since they're saying, you know, and I will note as a part of the port / new game discussion that they have, Nintendo has been using the verbiage for it, new game. And the fact that we got a teaser rather than like a full gameplay reveal kind of makes me think that this is definitely a new game, because I feel like a port just wouldn't have this kind of teaser. Like,
right.
If it were a port, we would have just gotten gameplay footage like all of the other Wii U ports for Switch that we've gotten so far. But yeah, so I do think, since it's a new game, that we will see big changes made to move sets, and that's actually the biggest change I'm expecting. I'm not expecting huge roster cuts. I am expecting a lot of new characters, but I'm mostly expecting that the older roster will also have a lot of moves tweaked, especially games that have had sequels since the last game that have really changed up the formula. So, you know, like you say, Cappy, we know that Breath of the Wild Link is coming. Anyway, I want to move this along because obviously, you know, we only have so many minutes in the day to record. I wanted to ask you, Slaggy, what do you want out of this game? Like, do you have any, like, vague things that you're hoping are present in Smash Brothers moving forward?
You know, I mean, are you talking about characters and stages?
Well, actually, yeah. So what I'd like to do is discuss stages, games represented, and characters. So maybe go in that order.
But preceding that, I would like to see some sort of subspace emissary style thing come back. One thing I did feel was kind of missing in Smash 4.
Well, and that's a perfect kind of thing to talk about here, because I think that that's something a lot of people really want. And, like, honestly, I would also be into having that. I don't necessarily love subspace emissary, but at the same time, like, kicking back on a Sunday morning, relaxing with your bros and playing some subspace emissary is a lot of fun. And if we could do that with a new one that's, like, four-person support or whatever, that would be hella cool. So I would agree with you. I hope that the new game has that.
Or some sort of thing like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So then let me ask you, specifically, like, are there any games that you're hoping are going to get represented in this game more than previous Smashes?
Oh, just I'm trying to think of, you know, what's come out that's been new, like, in terms of IP since the last Smash.
Well, and let me also expand on that. You know, something that's been a hot topic has been third-party characters as well, and obviously third-party, like, representations. Obviously, you know, before Smash 4, we all thought there was, like, this hard set of rules on what third parties could and could not appear, and, like, what kind of characters and stages were Sakurai going to use, how many of them, etc., etc. It turned out that all of those rules were made up gibberish, and Sakurai gonna do what Sakurai gonna do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think I almost feel
so
like,
if you want to talk about games represented, including third-party games, I would be totally
right,
welcome
and
with that.
I mean, it's almost impossible for me to say games represented without just going right into the characters and our stages, you know, so.
Well, and then do it that way. That's fine.
So one that I'm expecting is Shovel Knight.
We
kind of expected him to be in Smash 4, but he wasn't. I think he would be a lot of fun to play. As mentioned, I would like to see Waddle Dee, Bandana Waddle Dee represented. You know, if we've got 5 or 6 Fire Emblem characters, we can have 4 Kirby characters, especially if that would mean, you know, kind of what's become the core 4, Waddle Dee, Kirby, Meta Knight, and
specifically
Dee.
Bandana Waddle Dee, let's be clear.
Right, Bandana Waddle Dee, who, you know, that would be interesting too, because he has kind of like a little spear that he attacks with, and we don't really, I mean, I guess kind of, Corrin has, you know, a longer range weapon, but we don't have a lot of other characters who kind of, you know, have a longer range weapon like that. So, yeah, just like the way that he even has like a little helicopter thing that he can like hover in the air for a few minutes. So his moveset, just based on Kirby Star Allies already, would lend itself really well. I think it's definitely time for your boy Waluigi.
Yes!
You know, I don't know what his moveset would involve. There'd probably be roses of some type. Still holding out for Tingle, even though he's not been really represented, you know, in a mainline game in a long time. But definitely at least one champion. I'd say just bring all 4 of them in. Or, you know, obviously I'd like Prince Xenon, but, you know, I think it would be more likely that I would be the champion. So, you know,
I would really love to see all 4 champions brought over to Smash. I think that would be a really good choice. And again, you know, I know there's a lot of people who are concerned about character bloat on the roster. Again, you know, for me, it's kind of like, why? Like, it's not...
I mean, like, for Daruk would be a great addition for another heavy character.
Yeah, right?
Borrow some elements of a Majora's Mask style, you know, traversal kind of... He could roll around kind of like a Yoshi egg, but in the heavy version of it. You know, there's just a lot of potential there. Gosh, I don't know.
And I wanted to just finish that thought real quick. Just to note that, like, for me, the more characters in the game, the better. Like, as long as Nintendo, on their side, makes sure that the game is reasonably well-balanced, I don't really give a shit. Like, add 100 fucking characters, I don't care. Just have a reasonable level of balance, and you do you. Like, the more the merrier, in my opinion. I'm sorry, continue, Slaggy.
At least one arms fighter seems like a given.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. In fact, I almost am expecting 2 arms characters. And I'll tell you why, because I think that they will have, like, Spring Man or Spring Guy, whatever his name was, because that's kind of like one of the or Spring Girl, because they were like the faces
Ribbon
of
Girl and Spring
Ribbon
Guy.
Girl and Spring Man. But I only think one of them is going to get in. I also think Twintel will get in.
Oh, I hope so. And you know the internet's going to be like, yeah.
Well, and that's exactly why, you know, first off.
Skinny legend.
Nintendo has been really, I wouldn't call her a skinny legend. No, she's a thick legend.
No, but the whole idea of skinny legend doesn't mean you actually have to be skinny.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's good to know. You know, Nintendo, first off, they've been really cognizant about female representation in their games, and we've seen them comment on that repeatedly. They've also been really internet savvy as far as, like, really utilizing, like, internet hype for specific characters to their advantage, which I think the first thing we really saw that on was, like, the Year of Luigi era, and we saw them start using, like, the Luigi Death Stare meme on all of their social medias, and now they respond to pretty much every meme, and even make some memes, like the Flaming Chibi Robo meme before the last Nintendo Direct.
Oh, Chibi Robo would be cute addition.
Well, I completely agreed.
Captain Todd.
But I absolutely think that Nintendo has a vested interest in growing arms, and I think one of the big ways they could do that is Twintel is a rep in Smash. So I'm actually expecting that. I'm sorry, though. You were saying Chibi Robo.
Oh, I just said someone, like, just go back and listen to it, listeners. Sorry. It'd be interesting to see Crash, knowing that we have the Insane Trilogy. You know, I mean, there's just really a lot of possibilities here. But I think probably my big one, which I think is very likely, and my biggest hope, which also I think there's a pretty good chance of, is the champions from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree that that is a likely one to come on over. You know, and I'll say I would love to see some, like, more, like, classic Nintendo representation. I would love to see, like, Devil World get some love. Obviously, you know, we have previously had the Devil as a assist trophy character, but I don't see why we wouldn't be able to get, like, Tamagon as like, a playable character in particular.
Takamaru would be cool to get his chance in the spotlight again.
It's so funny you say that, because Takamaru was literally the next one I was going to say. Like, I'm ready for Takamaru to get a focus and be a playable character. I think we could do with, like, some more representation from some of the older classic games that already have a rep. So, like, you know, I would really like to see, like, maybe another character from Punch-Out, you know? Like a King Hippo, or if, you know, obviously some people might have problems with that depiction in a modern game, and I totally get it and am respectful to that. In which case, you know, like a Mr. Sandman-type character or something. I would love to see more characters from, like, Kid Icarus. Like, give me an Eggplant Wizard. There's a lot you could do with Eggplant Wizard in 2018. I obviously would love to see, like, a Gyromite, like the Gyromite scientist. Like, if we're gonna figure out a way to make
Monita.
Duck Hunt Dog a playable character, what was that?
Monita from Nintendo Land.
You say that, but I would be totally down for Monita. I thought Monita was great.
Side note, we really need... It's time for a Mysterious Murasame Castle reimagination.
I strongly agree. I very, very strongly agree. I think you're totally right.
Make it kind of more like a, you know, like if since Zelda went and, you know, went outside of the box, you know, they could kind of make it, but wasn't there also kind of like a...
The only real, like, Murasame type game that I can think of was when they did the Nintendo Land minigame.
Yeah, but there was also a time element that kind of was...
Oh, yeah.
So it would be kind of more like a, like, speed run. I think there's ways to make that game work in 2018.
Oh, absolutely. That I would, yeah, I completely
Sorry,
would agree.
But anyways, that's not the focus of this episode.
Yeah, I would love to see, you know, again, any of, like, the classic Nintendo stuff. I think there should be a balloon fighter, absolutely.
Lolo and Lala?
Yeah. I mean, obviously with Kirby, they're a little... redundant, but I would be down. In terms of the third-party stuff, I kind of shy away from things like Crash. I typically am looking for third-party characters with a greater Nintendo history, or like some of those like 90s, early 90s type characters, late 80s, early 90s, where like the Nintendo-Sega feud was like at a heat. Like for me, my real dream would be getting like Bonk in the game, or getting like Bomberman into the game, getting like a Simon Belmont type character, or a Strider. you know, characters that have historical footing on Nintendo platforms. Something like Blaster Master, I think, would be a great idea for a character that you could do a lot with and is super relevant in 2018.
A Rabid.
Oh, a Rabid, absolutely. Even just Rabid Peach. Like, could you imagine Rabid Peach in that game? I would be so down. It'd
Having
be the gag of the season.
Having a selfie move or something.
Dude, right? Exactly. That would totally be, like, the Super Smash attack for Rabid Peach. It would be like,
how about,
every character that is, like, that gets sucked in is, like, in the background getting hit while she's, like, looking hella cute in her selfie. It would be so cool. I'm sorry, you're saying, how about
the Nintendo Labo robot?
I also am expecting some kind of Labo representation, but I'm expecting more of, like, a background for this game. And
like
then if Labo takes off, or yeah, like a Labo stage in this game, and then if Labo takes off, then in the next Smash, and eventually, I think that's when we would get a character out of Labo. I also would love to see Dylan from Dylan's Rolling Western. I think it's his time to pop up in a Smash 2. And I could actually do this kind of thing all day. In fact, I might go to Twitter and just start tonight, like, talking about, like,
one
characters
like,
I want in
one
Smash.
Like equals one character I want to see in Smash.
Okay, you know what? Why don't you wrap up this discussion while I do that meme on Twitter right now? The real wrap-up here, Slaggy, that I want to ask you is, what do you think about that release window? We know that the Nintendo Online platform service is going to be starting in, I believe, September. Do you think the release of Smash Brothers will coincide with that? Do you think it's going to be before that or after
October.
That?
October.
Okay, that was very direct. And will you be picking this up?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, well then let's start winding down by talking about what's up, and let's break from convention, hop into that segment, and we'll have you start so I can get this meme posted on the internet.
I said, hey, what's going on?
All right, well, I've just picked up on Friday, on its release day, Kirby Star Allies. I've talked a little bit about that and how I've, you know, been enjoying it so far. And I won't step on your feet, but, you know, I recognize that it maybe isn't as hardcore so far, just based on having played through just the first set of levels in terms of, like, hidden things. But it's a lot of fun to play. It's so cute. I mean, as a Kirby game typically is. I'm really glad to have picked it up. I'm looking forward to putting more time into it. And, you know, it's great to see, you know, it has a lot of the things I want out of a Kirby game. But the Star Allies, you know, being able to have little friends and combine the abilities, it's just great, you know. Kirby games almost never go wrong in my regard. I played a little Smash, as you mentioned, but honestly, what I've put more time into than a lot of other things lately is I started playing Planet Coaster again when I was really sick. So the past weekend, we had hoped to originally do a buoy, but I was just really sick, had no voice, and was like, actually had to take some time off of work. That's how bad it was, but I'm a lot better now, obviously, but it got me... just for whatever reason, wanting to play some Planet Coaster. And so I've been trying to make my way through the different scenarios. And, you know, definitely appreciating, you know, the new things. I had to turn off the security features because I was getting annoyed by pickpockets. But I, from my understanding, at a certain point in the... once it gets to some of the more difficult scenarios that you can't disable that there's some that, like, require you to work with the security features. And for me, it just is kind of... It's not that I don't like the idea of the security features and having security cameras and having the security guards catch the pickpockets. It's just that I've swear that there's something in the scripting or the AI that's making it happen way too much, like even like in like, you know, easy level parks. So that I wasn't too thrilled with, but you know, other than that, once I turned it off, I found that, like, oh, I'm not worried about my guests getting unhappy over their pickpockets, you know, stealing their money. And then, you know, for some reason, even setting patrol paths for my security guards, like, you know, still didn't seem to help putting up cameras. So once I disabled that feature, like, I end up having a lot more fun with it. You know, the first set of the easiest scenarios involve kind of pirate themes, so obviously I'm super here for that. The second set of easy ones that I am working my way through, just because I like to do it in order, you know, that's always kind of been the way I've done it. I believe that's in one, in Roller Coaster Tycoon 1, you had to do it in that order. I know in 2, I think you could kind of jump around with, to a degree in terms of the difficulty levels. Of course, this is a lot more like 3, and as I'm playing through the scenarios, it definitely does feel like a, you know, modern version of Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, which, you know, I think my favorite was probably 2, but, you know, 3 had a lot of great things going for it, and so, you know, it's a lot of fun. Like I said, I've just been working on a set of different scenarios that involve kind of like a fairy tale theme. So one of the ones I did had to involve your park scenery rating, so that kind of really got me thinking about, okay, well, what can I do to really, you know, add to my scenery rating? And I feel like it made me like a better landscaper, like starting to think about, oh, how am I going to put my scenery objects around? And, you know, so I'm starting to kind of get into the ins and outs of it, so to speak. You know, I typically like to play those games sandbox more than often than not, so it's kind of nice to, you know, work within the confines and, you know, kind of challenge myself that way, because, you know, in the original games, you know, I definitely did, you know, play the scenarios. And I mean, the other nice thing is that there's, like Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, there's the 3 levels of goals or, you know, achievements or things that you have to do in the scenario to get, you know, the to really clear it. So that, you know, increases replayability too. So anyway, enough about that. But if you out there would like me to try to put together, or maybe Captain Spike and I can work together at some point to put together a Game Buoy scenario that you can play and get on the Steam Workshop, and then you can play it if you're playing Tijuana Coaster.
You nerd.
I love coaster sim games so much. But I still suck at designing coasters. Like, never been able to figure out how to do that well.
Fair.
Your turn.
All right. So let's see. I've been playing quite a few games this week, or in the last 2 weeks. Probably the biggest one, of course, being Monster Hunter World, but I'm mostly still grinding out. Still haven't actually gotten Nergigante down, so I've been working on building some better armors and stuff, because I was kind of a little bit under-geared before starting this fight, so really sort of seeing the value in taking my time a little more, rather than being quite as overconfident in my own abilities to carry a fight while undergeared. I like Monster Hunter a lot, but not so much that I'm one of those people who can, like, clear the entire game with starter gear. It turns out I'm not that good. I've also been playing this one really weird game on Switch. It's called Cluster Truck. I bought it for like $20 and I was super mad about it off the eShop. I'll basically buy anything on the eShop, which is a real problem for my wallet, obviously. I never heard of this game before, but I watched like the little trailer that was in the eShop, and it was just like, oh, you're jumping from truck to truck as they move. This seems like fun, like a first-person platformer game. Cool. With like light puzzle-y elements, because you're having to figure things out. So I ended up getting really into it and played it for like a solid hour while making Slapkick watch yesterday. I ended up having a lot of fun with it. It's I definitely wish it had been like a $5 game instead of a $20 game, but I did have fun with it. I will continue putting time into it, and I'm enjoying it, even though it's honestly kind of kusoge. Been playing more Celeste, which has been awesome. Really great game. Just phenomenal. If you like 2D platformers and you're into those like tricky, like puzzle platform type games, definitely check it out. Super fun. I've been putting some time into Fire Emblem Warriors, which has been really fantastic. Also been putting time into Kirby Star Allies these last 2 days, which has been amazing. Slaggy, because I was putting that tweet together, I didn't hear the first half of your what's up. Did you talk about Star Allies already?
Yeah, and I said I didn't want to step on your feet too much about, you know, the lack of hidden stuff that I know when we were playing together, you're like, oh, come on, let's go look up here. There's got to be something hidden. Oh, there's not.
Yeah, I definitely feel very similar to how I felt about New Mario Brothers Wii, which it does have some hidden stuff, but not as much as like Super Mario World. Very similar to that. Playing Star Allies, I feel like there isn't as much hidden as there would have been in, let's say, Kirby Triple Deluxe, but it is a really phenomenally designed two-player and up experience. Ton of fun to play with friends. Totally different experience from playing solo. There are some fun hidden stuff. Definitely a few levels I want to revisit that maybe I missed something in. But as like a Kirby completionist, typically, so far, I don't think I've really missed anything, which is, you know, good and bad. Either way, absolutely loving the game. And it does make me wonder if we won't see a sequel to Star Allies later down the line in the Switch's lifetime that will be a similar evolution of these ideas, similar to what we saw with Kirby Triple Deluxe and Kirby Planet Robobot. So definitely super excited to see how that shakes out down the line. A really phenomenal game, though. I can't wait to put more time into it. Slaggy, did you have anything else that
you wanted
to talk about? Okay, well then, cool. Then do we have any social links this week?
We don't, but we always do love your feedback. We love your subscriptions, ratings, and reviews on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter. Our Twitter is GameBuoy.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
GameBuoy.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
You can email us at MailBuoy@GameBuoy.org.
MailBuoy@GameBuoy.org.
MailBuoy@GameBuoy.org. And our home base is GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
That's who I want to see as a playable character, MailBuoy.
Right?
So, I always envision a MailBuoy as that, just, you know, Game Boy from Captain N.
Same.
But with a mailbag.
Same. All right. Well, I think it's time for our shout-outs, yeah?
Yeah. So you want to start us off, or are we going to flip it up again here?
Nope. I'll start us off. You can check us out over at the Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com, where you can also hear such fantastic shows as Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO, and Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I steal so many of my cues. I'd be remiss not to mention my own show over there, the Ranger Pride podcast, which is in fact back with new content. Over there, we take a look mostly at the Super Sentai side of things these days, which is, of course, the Tokusatsu series upon which the Power Rangers franchise is based. Doing it good over there with Shane, and we definitely would love more listeners, so come on over. You can also hear the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. In terms of non-VOG shows, you should definitely check out the Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin, as well as their sister show X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. You should also look into the Astral Era podcast. Astral Era is a Final Fantasy XIV podcast focused on in-depth discussion of new content, game mechanics, story/lore, music, and of course, glamour, darling. And last, and definitely not least, is Slagkick's show, Reading is Fundamental, where he, myself, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness talk about the current season, be it a shit show or not, of RuPaul's Drag Race. That was a little bit of a spoiler for what the tone is going to be like on tomorrow's episode,
which, by the time you're listening to this,
will be last night's episode. Slacky, take us a place.
I'm going to take you to a game bar. Game bar is part of the Hunty Bunch, where you can kick back and listen to the sassy staccato of Jeremiah, Toopsie, and Todd. Also part of the Hunty Bunch is VG Realness, serving up a gaming chit-chat dosage for you among friends. Also doing a lot of streaming over on Twitch, so check them out. I also like to shout out to the Magical Boys podcast, a pop culture podcast from a queer perspective, as well as our allies over at the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop-punk. All things that I like. And the home of Yuna and Luna, the kitties!
Yes, kitties, I love you!
Hey, kitty girls! I'd also like to shout out to Anime Buoy, our sister show, your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be.
And which will absolutely be coming back sometime in the next few weeks.
Yes,
please
for
look
sure,
forward
confirmed.
To it.
As well as Stabcast, that's short for the same type attack bonus podcast, which is your twice monthly look at the deeper worlds of Pokemon that we do with Trainer Sulker. Our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, which is the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. They forever closed their doors quite a while back, sadly, but will forever be pouring out of 40 into the great fairy fountain.
All right. Thank you all so much out there in Internet Radio Land for spending this lovely Sunday late afternoon with us. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. It's been a really great week, but regrettably, it is time to go. We'll be back at you in a week or two, but until then, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And,
Akuba no choco kapuseru kohen.
3.7 inches flaccid.
What? Speak into your mic for me.
Too bad that it's already Sunday.
Yeah.